We have an interesting miracle in today's gospel, not simply because of the miracle itself, but in part because of how Jesus performed this miracle. You know, the people asked him to lay hands on this man who was deaf and mute, but that's not what he did. And he also could have just spoken. He could have just said, "Be healed," and the man would have been healed. But that's not what he did either. It says that he put his fingers in the man's ears, and then spitting, probably on his own fingers, touched his tongue in order to heal this man. So probably not good protocol during a COVID year, but why did our Lord do this? Well, to understand what's going on here, we have to look back at our first reading. And the first reading is a prophecy from Isaiah. And it's not just a prophecy about the coming of the Messiah, but in particular, it's a prophecy about the coming of God to visit his people. God is going to come and save his people. And when that happens, Isaiah lists certain signs. He says the ears of the deaf will be cleared and the tongue of the mute will sing. And so the reason why Jesus heals this man in the way that he does, in part, is because he's fulfilling this prophecy of Isaiah. He's touching the man's ears in order to clear them, and he touches his tongue so that this man may be able to speak. And so this is a sign that Jesus is revealing to the people there, to the Israelites, and to all of us, that God has come to visit his people. This is revealing his divinity. If this is not just another prophet, if this is God himself who is visiting his people. This man had never spoken before in his life. You know, he didn't know how to speak. You know, and for kids who are learning how to speak, it takes them years to learn how to speak, you know, how to form different sounds, you know, to get the muscle memory necessary to speak. But Jesus infuses that in this man in a single instant. You know, that hadn't been done since God infused language into Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And so it's no wonder that the people are astonished by this miracle and what happens. But if we put ourselves in the place of this deaf and mute man, this man was literally standing before the presence of God, looking into Jesus' eyes, seeing the face of God, as Jesus reached out to him in a very personal way and touched him to heal him. I think a good question to ask ourselves is, have we put ourselves in that man's place? As we come before the sacraments, do we recognize that it's the face of God that we're receiving in the Holy Eucharist? And do we seek his healing power to heal the wounds and the brokenness within our own souls? You know, part of being a Christian is not just an intellectual belief in God, but it's a living and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, Isaiah says in his prophecy that burning sands and thirsty ground will become pools and springs of water. That's an image of the transformation that Jesus desires to work in our souls as he pours out the grace of the Holy Spirit into our souls, giving us life. And so it's important for each one of us as Christians to seek and to experience that personal relationship with Christ as he healed this man. I was reflecting upon today's gospel in light of Mother Teresa. Since today is her feast day, September 5th is the feast day of Mother Teresa. And she's one of the greatest witnesses in the modern world of a personal love of Christ. You know, people listened to her words with great respect. People across all different ideological backgrounds had a deep and profound respect for Mother Teresa, in large part because of the witness of her life. You know, her witness of service to the poorest of the poor. You know, people respected that, and they could see something powerful in the witness that she was giving. But I wanted to highlight a few lessons from Mother Teresa. And the first lesson is that Mother Teresa and her sisters, the missionaries of charity, began every day with a holy hour because they recognized that they weren't just social workers. They weren't there simply to improve people's positions in life. That's not what their mission was. Mother Teresa recognized that their mission was to bring the love of God into some of the darkest and the worst conditions in this world, to bring Christ to these people who, in many cases, were simply dying in the streets, neglected. And so you cannot give what you do not have. So she recognized the importance of her sisters, first and foremost, encountering Christ in the presence of the Eucharist, so they could then bring Christ into the world. One of the things that Mother Teresa said was that the most terrible poverty is loneliness and the feeling of being unloved. If we think about this woman who's seen people in some of the darkest and most extreme poverty that this world can offer, and what she said was the hunger for love is much more difficult to remove than the hunger for bread. You know, ultimately, one of the greatest greatest brokenness in many people's souls is that they've never experienced love. And it's hard for people to grasp the love of God. You know, sometimes it's just an abstract concept or a concept that doesn't sink in if people have never experienced love themselves. And so it's the mission of Christians to, as Mother Teresa did, to be a sign of that love so that people can be led to experience an authentic relationship with Christ. You know, Mother Teresa had a very practical spirituality in the way that she lived out her calling. You know, one of the things that she said in terms of, you know, how do we bring the love of Christ into the world? You know, one very practical way. She said, kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless. You know, often we can get in habits where we are, you know, criticize other people, or we complain a lot, or we correct the people that are around us. And often we don't make an effort to say kind words. But that's something that's very easy to do if we just make an effort to do it. And it begins with the people that are closest around us, with our family members. And it begins with the first people that we see when we walk outside of church. And so Jesus reveals to us a very personal and a very intimate love in this gospel. And that's a love that our broken world needs. You know, our Lord has come to save us and to reveal that. And so it's important for each one of us to first and foremost encounter that love ourselves. And once we encounter that love, to reflect that to the people who are around us and the people that we meet in our daily lives.